Shalom, this is Rabbeen Deborah Brandt, and this is day 8 of the 40 days of Teshuvah. Daily we read Psalm 51 and Psalm 27. The goal of Al-Het is to get to the root of the problem, to become more like Yeshua and to become conformed to His image, and Torah is a process. It doesn't happen overnight. The key is never to give up, because He does not give up on us. We are all under construction, a work in practice. Al-Het number 7, for the sin that we have sinned before you through harsh speech. Again, we are dealing with words that come out of our mouth. The sins of the mouth are called Lashon Hara, or the evil tongue. Harsh speech can deeply wound an individual and cause them to stumble spiritually. To verbally abuse someone is just as much an evil and sin as physical abuse. Proverbs 15:1, a soft answer turns away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. The Talmud, a Jewish commentary, tells us that the tongue is an instrument so dangerous that it must be kept hidden from view beyond two protective walls, the mouth and the teeth, to prevent its misuse. By making others feel important, we build them up as if to say your existence is necessary. This is life-giving and life-affirming. One of the great American rabbis of the past generation, Rabbi Shlomo Freefield, was known to have brought a neighbor back to Yahweh and Torah observance simply by caring enough to say good morning. On the other hand, speech can also be used to destroy. Words like you are worthless wipes out a person's self-esteem. The Talmud explains that negative speech is even worse than a sword, since it kills many people, even at a great distance. Mikhail Ben Yoshi. A Hasidic tale illustrates the point. A man went about the community telling malicious lies about his rabbi. Later, he realized the wrong he had done and began to feel remorse. He went to the rabbi and begged his forgiveness, saying that he would do anything he could to make amends. The rabbi told the man, take a feather pillow, cut it open, and scatter the feathers to the winds. Man thought that that was a strange request, but it was a simple enough task, and he did it, gladly. When he returned to tell the rabbi that he had done it, the rabbi now said, now go and gather the feathers, because you can no more make amends for the damage your words have done than you can recollect the feathers. James, or Yaakov 1:26, if anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. And then James, or Yaakov 3:3, indeed we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships, although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member, boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Within it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceeding blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear fruit? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh. Now you might be thinking, I am not guilty of these things, therefore it does not apply to me. Here is some insight to why we pray in the plural form of we instead of I. Confessions in Judaism, you will notice, are always in the plural. We have sinned, we have transgressed, etc. And you see this in the prayers of Nehemiah, Nehemiah, and also Daniel, Ezra, as they are petitioning the Father and confessing the sins of Israel. They are always meant to be said by the entire congregation, even by those individuals who feel that they themselves have not been guilty of the sins enumerated. The reasons for the use of the plural in the recitations of the confessions by the entire congregation are manifold. When one Jew sins, it is as though all Jews have sinned. This is in accordance with the principle that all Jews are responsible for one another. The confessional prayers for the High Holy Days are constructed to intensify our feelings of responsibility for one another. When an individual Jew celebrates, the whole community rejoices. When he weeps, the community shares his grief with him. When he sins, the whole community shares his sin. The group recitation of the confessional is intended to remind us that the failure of the individual is often the result of the shortcomings of the society or community in which one lives. This is exactly what Shaul or Paul pointed out in the following scriptures. 1 Corinthians 12:26, if one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Romans 12:15, rejoice with those that rejoice and weep with those that weep. 1 Peter 2:9, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. When there is unrepentant sin in the body of Messiah, it affects the whole body, especially the sin of Lashon Hara, evil speaking. Journal food for thought. Ask yourself, can I learn to bring correction without losing my temper and speaking words that I will later regret? Have I verbally abused someone in order to cause pain and hurt in their lives? Did I speak evil about those I might disagree with in order to make myself feel more important? Do I need to ask forgiveness from someone whom I have spoken harsh words to? Have I learned to control my tongue, or am I a tool of HaSatan to cause hurt and pain? Dear Father, put your arm around my shoulders and your hand over my mouth. I want to end with a prayer to watch what we say. Father, today we commit to you in the name of Yeshua. We turn from speaking idle words and foolishly talking things that are contrary to our true desire, to ourselves and towards others. Your word says that the tongue defiles, and that the tongue sets on fire the course of nature, and that the tongue is set on fire of hell. In the name of Yeshua, we submit to godly wisdom that we might learn to control our tongue. We are determined that hell will not set our tongue on fire. We renounce, reject, and repent of every word that has proceeded out of our mouth against you, Father, and your operation. We cancel its power and dedicate our mouth to speak excellent and right things. Our mouth shall utter truth. Because we are the righteousness of God and Messiah Yeshua, we set the course of our life for obedience, for abundance, for wisdom, for health, and for joy. Set a guard over our mouth, O Lord. Keep watch over the door of our lips. Then the words of our mouth and our deeds shall show forth your righteousness and your salvation all our days. We purpose to guard our mouth and our tongue that we may keep ourselves from calamity. Father, your words are top priority to us. They are spirit and life, and we let the word dwell in us richly in all wisdom. The ability of God is released within us by the words of our mouth and by the word of Elohim. We speak your words out of our mouth. They are alive in us. You are alive and working in us. So we can boldly say that our words are words of faith, words of power, words of love, and words of life. They produce good things in our life and the lives of others because we choose your words for our lips and your will for our life. In Yeshua's name, amen.